For years, teachers have been trying to deal with, you know, huge workloads, and especially ever-increasing workloads. At the moment, it's just an exponential growth. There's a lack of respect in the community and a sort of high demand for a certain kind of commitment to the job. It's no surprise that many teachers are suffering burnout and there are teacher shortages across the country. This month, the federal government launched a multi-million dollar national plan to try and stop the shortages. To tell us more, we're joined by Dr. Saul Karnovsky from Curtin University's School of Education. Good morning, Dr. Saul.
Good morning, Pam. Pleasure to be with you.
Oh, so great to have you. What are the main pressures on teachers at the moment? What's happening? What's going on?
Well, you gave a really great introduction there and I think hit on some of the main issues that teachers are telling us. So out of several studies that have been done over the last couple of years, and particularly post-COVID, during and post-COVID, we're finding that teachers are running on empty. The word burnout is really key, but also an important word that we're talking about at the moment is demoralisation. And teachers feel demoralised because of, as you mentioned, there are increasing expectations put upon them on the work that they do. They're dealing with complex community needs, complex student needs, and their workloads are unmanageable. And now we're finding that teachers are saying to us, I don't want to be a teacher anymore. And some of the studies that are coming out of Monash University, there was a big study done with thousands of teachers across primary and secondary schools across the country. And recently out of the University of South Australia, a big teacher study was done in that state. And we're seeing, you know, 50 to 60% of teachers are telling us at the moment that they can't stay in the job anymore. And that is really alarming for us as a country and for communities to think that the people that are doing a lot of the time really great work. I mean, teachers are working 50 plus hours a week, and that includes the holidays. So the myth that teachers have, you know, long holidays and they sort of work short days is exactly that. It's a myth. Teachers are working increasingly hard and long hours to keep up with all that's required of them. And they're fed up. They're running on empty, they're burnt out, they're demoralised, and we really need to be concerned. And I think with the concern comes care. We need to care for our teachers and really listen to them. That's the critical point.
Absolutely. How you're saying 50 to 60% of teachers are dissatisfied in their position or looking towards other work, looking away from teaching. How drastic is this shortage likely to become? Is it getting worse? Is it growing?
Yes, it is. And some of us who have been interested in this area for a few years have seen this coming. We saw the writing on the wall years ago. And for those of us who are talking to teachers, listening to teachers, this comes as no surprise. The current statistics are that we're 4,000 teachers short across the country. It will get worse. If those teachers who are currently not seeing immediate changes to their workloads, to, again, what's required of them around administration. They want their autonomy and creative freedom back because we've moved towards standardization of basically everything in teaching, and teachers don't feel like they can be creative. They don't have freedom and professional autonomy. If that doesn't change quickly, those people will walk. Now, one thing that is encouraging is I feel like the national conversation has finally shifted. For many years under the Liberal government, the conversation around teachers' work was problematic, to say the least. I've been quite impressed by the new education minister, Jason Clare, and how he's gone about listening to teachers. So one of the first things that he did recently was he brought actual teachers who teach in the classroom, and imagine that, and principals.
Get people in the room.
Absolutely.
That you're talking about.
Yeah, get them round the table. And again, it was really heartening to listen to the briefing that occurred after that meeting in Canberra. And he talked about the tears that were shed around that table. And he himself was affected by that. And again, I've really been encouraged to see what is being said by the federal government around how do we solve this problem. We need to listen to teachers, we need to speak to them, and we need a unified strategy. So all the ministers, the state ministers, were speaking as one. And that's the first time that that's happened in recent memory, at least in the last 10 years.
Wow, amazing. And you've mentioned burnout, so like we're going towards these shortages and you're getting people in the room and there's you know, strategies that are being developed towards this? Are those strategies addressing mental health of teachers? You've done a bit of research into this area. What impacts are, you know, are the pressures having on these teachers? What are we doing to address that?
Well, what's been happening in schools is a little bit like what's been happening in private organisations across the country and the world, which is this move towards what I'm calling toxic positivity. And this idea is that when there are pressures on our work, when we feel stressed, when more is being asked of us than we can possibly meet those demands, our leaders and our managers come at us and say, well, you've just got to learn how to be mindful and manage your stress. You just got to learn breathing techniques. And hey, here's a Tuesday yoga class that will help you stretch and relax and look after yourself.
But we're still going to give you the same amount of work.
Of course, yeah. And no, in fact, we'll ask more of you. And so what's happened is we've created a response that asks individuals to manage these organizational pressures. And it's the wrong way to go about it. And many teachers, and the research I'm conducting with a colleague, Dr. Brad Gobby, at the moment, is we're looking at teachers' online discussions about well-being programs in schools, and they're pretty cynical and fed up. And teachers saying, look, I feel burnt out by my well-being committee, is not a positive response that you want from your teachers. So the principals are going about this in the wrong way. We argue that principals and government leaders need to really think about this. They need to pull back from these kinds of corporate well-being programs where somebody from outside comes in and says, I'm going to teach you how to be resilient, and teachers cross their arms and roll their eyes and harumph and think, you know, what do you know about what it actually means to be a teacher every day? And sit down with teachers, you know, have a yarn, sit in a yarning circle and get teachers to talk about their difficult truths. And when you do that, teachers will feel like they're being heard. They'll feel like they're being recognized for these stresses. And then the principals actually need to start making changes to the way that schools are organized, what's being asked of their employees. And hopefully through that, we can see teachers starting to feel a little bit more buoyant that they are being listened to and something's being done about their concerns.
You're listening to On the Record, and we're talking to Dr. Saul Karnovsky about growing teacher shortages across Australia. Now, obviously, those are things that principals can do, that teachers want to be done, and things that you want to happen. But what is the government planning to do to address the teacher shortage?
Well, I think it's trying everything and anything is the mentality at the moment, which is good in a way. There are some ideas. There's around the entry point, so how graduate teachers are trained, and that's the work that I do, and the microscope is on our teacher education courses, so we're all feeling that. There's more money for placements for teachers, so that's great, and I see just yesterday an announcement that more students from disadvantaged, from Indigenous backgrounds, going to be coming into education, because really we need some of our toughest communities out there need to be taught by people who have lived in those communities and experienced life, living in a marginalised, disadvantaged, or in a regional remote location. Those teachers work best in those kinds of environments. So that's really encouraging to see. But at the moment, it's interesting, this notion that we have a teacher shortage and the response around, say, bringing in skilled migrants from outside of the country, I think is a little bit in the wrong direction. We actually have enough trained teachers, so we need to pull them back into the profession. And again, until we start seeing some of these changes around workload, around the expectations of teachers, around giving them professional freedom and autonomy, teachers talk to other teachers even when they've left. And until that message starts to get through to those that might have stepped out for a while, I think, you know, we won't really see a significant change in the shortage until that happens.
You need to be, you know, holistically addressing what's going wrong rather than bringing in more people,
yes,
what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Well, you know, they've announced this new plan and they're hoping that it will work. But obviously, as we've just discussed, it's, you know, it's a, you know, throwing a stick at a pile of would, and yes. calling it a problem.
Yes.
So not necessarily going to be the most helpful way to address it. What would you like to see them do correctly? What would you like to see in an ideal world? How would you like to see a plan modelled that would work?
Well, we can look at countries that are doing education really well and where teachers are really satisfied and their well-being is very high. And the Scandinavian countries do it pretty well, particularly Finland. And we have the wonderful Pasi Salzberg in our country who's been talking about this for a number of years. So he's a Finnish educator and education designer and leader. And he's been speaking this message for a while and he's finally being listened to. But it's actually about taking things out, not putting more things in. And one of the problems that we're seeing is that we're moving towards this one-size-fits-all approach when it comes to teaching. So teachers are expected to teach a certain way. Not only are they expected to teach curriculum that's very standardized, one-size-fits-all curriculum across the country, no matter where you are and who you are, but also a style or strategy or tactic of teaching has become very factory-driven. You will teach direct instruction and you'll teach it this way, the same way every day. And students are disengaging at increasing levels. They don't see that school is for them. And this is not the way in which we're going to get young people to really engage with schooling and see that education is a meaningful way to learn about the world and increase your life opportunities. And so we need to give back that freedom. Creative freedom and professional autonomy for me is one of the most critical areas we need to be working on in schools currently in Australia. And we can do that by actually starting to roll back some of these standards, giving schools an opportunity to design curriculum that suits the needs of their community. If you do that, I can tell you that you're going to see a real shift in how young people approach their education, because they'll see that it's for them, because it is. It's designed for them, their concerns, who they are, and the kinds of lives that they're living in whatever part of Australia that they are right at this moment.
The pressures on young teachers, so after school, going into becoming a teacher. So we're talking about the pressures that people are facing now as teachers, where they've been in their career for a long time and their workload is too much, or they're finding it that there's no support and no structure around them to feel supported in their work. Young teachers, through going through teaching programs in universities, are there support networks, are there programs and teaching in place to teach them how to deal with that stress and that workload?
There are some, but not enough. We really have not done mentoring of new-to-teaching professionals well for a number of years. So there needs to be improved mentoring and there needs to be improved support. There's a bit of a sink or swim mentality. So you're just dropped into the deep end. And teaching's a funny job in that somebody who's 20 years experience and somebody who's 1 year experience, when they get into the classroom, they have the same level of responsibility. And that can be problematic. And this is why we see new graduates burning out quickly and walking away. And the attrition level is quite high, up to 50%. In the first 5 to 7 years. So that shows that we're not doing that very well at all. So we do need to really think about how we can hold on to our new teachers. And also a part of this issue, surprisingly, despite the shortage, Pam, that a number of teachers are facing increased casualization in their work. So they're only working on short-term contracts, maybe 1 year. And the school is saying, well, we'll see and okay, we'll wait and we'll let you know later in the year. And teachers feel unstable financially. They feel unstable around being able to think about how do I plan a future at this school and really dig deep and make meaningful connection with this community if I don't know if my contract will get renewed. So schools are run like businesses now, unfortunately, and public schools as well. And that's leading to those teachers who really would like to stay being unsure. And we need to pressure the government, or the government needs to look at this to think about pressuring principals to say, hey, give your teachers some assurance that they're going to have their job maintained. And, you know, look, not many professions have permanent positions these days, and probably many people listening would be thinking, well, what a luxury. I'm not I would love that. That would be great. Like, let's have more permanent teaching positions. But let's even think about 3 to 5 year contracts for teachers. Absolutely, that will help those who want to stay in those schools stick it out and really make a difference to those communities.
What can you advise and what would you recommend for those teachers struggling with that workload and struggling with that pressure? How should they support or lean into their community? What can they ask for?
Really great question. I think teachers need to learn, A, how to look after themselves. That's important. I'm not saying that, you know, yoga or having a good diet or breathing exercises aren't useful. Absolutely. If those are things that you want to adopt and bring into your personal practice in dealing with workplace stress or strain or challenges that you're facing, absolutely. Go ahead and do that. Learn how to do that. There's any number of apps and YouTube videos that you can watch to learn those things. What teachers need to start doing is getting together and being collegial with that emotional labor, what I call emotional labor. So the stuff that we work really hard on to do with our emotions. So if we're feeling stressed, oftentimes teachers need to show or mask that they're coping all the time, you know, put on the smile, put on the brave face. Teachers need to find spaces where they can get together and drop that mask. I talked about yarning and truth-telling before. I like to draw a lot on First Nations pedagogies when I'm working with teachers in this area. You know, sit around in a circle when you have some time away from the classroom and have a yarn. Tell some difficult truths and cry together if you have to, you know, get angry together if you have to. And then think about how you might bring that together and perhaps go to your leadership. And I think actually leadership needs to be in those conversations ideally as well, sitting around the circle, because principals also are working incredibly long hours. They're dealing with a lot of stress. They often deal with parent bullying and, yes, increasing assaults on principals, physical assaults, verbal assaults. And so principals also need to share their emotional labor with their teachers and together collectively work out some ways in which, how do we improve what we do and how we do it, and how do we, you know, sort of together fight the good fight so we don't feel burnt out and we're all just sort of limping towards the summer holidays. Which, teachers out there, you know, I absolutely feel you, I hear you. It's, we care for you. There are many of us that do. So, you know, we just want to say that in solidarity as a community, let's come together, let's hold our teachers up and help them. Otherwise, they are going to walk, and our children increasingly are not going to have dedicated people in the classroom who can make a difference to their lives and support and help them in their learning.
Thank you so much for joining us on The Record this morning, Dr.
You're welcome.
Saul. It's been a really interesting chat.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Saul Karnowski from Curtin University talking about the government's new plan to fix shortages, what teachers can do to support themselves and support each other in this profession going forwards.